Our reading this morning is in two parts, from the book of Acts. Firstly, Acts chapter 2, which is on page 1033 in the Pew Bible. Page 1033, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Then over the page to chapter 4 and verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord.
A couple of times ago, which I preached, I got an email on Tuesday or Wednesday from a member of the church, and who said that, thank you for the sermon. I'm sending you something to brighten up your wardrobe. And this morning, Dave Sunman said, would you like a little dog collar here so you can look the part completely? And that person who wrote to me, of course, was Ray Turner, who bought for me 6 odd socks. So here they are. So there is some colour for you, if you want it. So thank you, dear Ray. And I wear these socks more than any other in my wardrobe. And I really enjoy them. You don't have to sort them out. It's brilliant. I love it. That's got absolutely nothing to do with the sermon whatsoever. But I just thought I would share that with you. So apart from my red face, you have my coloured socks as well. I'm afraid, I'm sorry, Roger, I gave you the wrong second set of verses to read this morning, because I've got it up there, 32 to 35, and it actually should have been chapter 4, 23 to 34. So I'm sorry about that. But we're talking about corporate prayer. So is this what we're talking about when we talk about corporate prayer? Tesco, Amazon, Starbucks, and of course our beloved Google paying their £130 million tax over 10 years. Is this corporate prayer? No, this is not corporate prayer. This is not what we're talking about. We should pray for Starbucks and Amazon and Google and all the other corporates, but this is not what I'm going to be talking about this morning. The problem is with our context in Britain and the West in general is that we are absolutely individualistic. We are individuals. It is, as that little thing says, an idolatry of individualism. It goes to every single part of our lives. It is me. It is I. I got a couple of definitions of individualism. A doctrine that, interesting, a dictionary that says a doctrine. That's a theological term. How dare dictionaries nick my words? A doctrine that the interests of the individual are and ought to be ethically paramount. A theory maintaining that the political and economic independence of the individual and stressing individual initiative and action and interest. We are individualistic. Even in our Christian lives, we are individualistic. We think, therefore, that it's me and God. It's just to do with me and God. And it is so ingrained that we don't see it. It is like the air we breathe. We are so individualistic, we don't even notice. However, human life is not individual life. It is corporate life. The very basis of our faith is God. As an individual? No. God in Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are not just individuals. We are individuals who live in community. Why are we together this morning? Because our faith is not an individual faith. It is a corporate faith. I put this up as a typical example. Believe me, it was not difficult to find any of these pictures. You've seen it all before. If you're on Facebook, people post these things every now and again. You know, when you put your technology away, people start talking to each other. We're all together. We're all together as a family. All doing that. And you see these pictures, don't you, that people are on holiday and they come back with a suntan, and the suntan they've got has got on their chest, it's a mobile phone with their hands like that, because that's all they've done the whole time. We are individualistic. When we sing I, not us. It's interesting, Stuart Townend's song was actually we. We. The last two songs were both we. Thank you, Joe. And so when we start to talk about prayer, we almost always think about me talking to God. Now, the Bible's not like that. When Joe was reading Psalm 46, I thought, she's changed some words, I thought. So I went and I opened the Bible, looked at Psalm 46. No, she hasn't. A very present help, our help. It's us. It's us together. The Bible talks about corporate prayer more than it talks about individual prayer. And in Western society, now I look over and Hilda's nodding like anything because she's African and she knows what I'm talking about. In Africa, we're us. We're not me. And my experience in Latin America, among Latins, they're I, but among indigenous people, we are we. We don't exist on our own. I'll just give you an example. An African guy phoned us up the first year we were married. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. He phoned us up to see whether we could give him some help. He asked how my father, mother, sister, everybody else was before he got to the theme of the subject. Because I'm not me, I'm a family. And this individualism stomps into our prayer life. Corporate prayer is very, very important. And here this morning in Acts 2 and Acts 4, we have corporate prayer. We don't have individual prayer. And I simply Googled prayer. And I clicked on images, and I must have gone down 5 or 6 pages before I found a group of people praying. They were all like this, sitting on top of a mountain praying on their own. No, corporate prayer. Have I got the point across, by the way? You got it? Good, good stuff. Just making sure. Even in our text for the year, Lord, teach me to pray. Oh, no, sorry. Lord, teach us to pray. That's what the disciple says. Teach us to pray. It's not that I want to pray, it's that we need to pray together. Lord, teach us today. What does Jesus say? Give me my daily bread? No. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I find it less difficult now. I've spent like 2 weeks thinking about it. But it's so hard for us to think corporately. It is we who need our daily bread, not me. It's we who need it. It is we who need our sins forgiven. It is we who do not want to be led into temptation. It is we who need delivering from the evil one. Corporate life and corporate prayer. Now, how does this come about? There you go. It's quite interesting that the real defining word on prayer is found in Matthew 18. Now, if you've studied Matthew, you'll know that Matthew has five big blocks of Jesus' preaching. Teaching, chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 10, chapter 13, chapter 18, chapter 24 and 25. This is chapter 18, and it's all about life together, which is the title of one of my favourite books that I've ever read in my life by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Life Together. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For, because, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. It's when we are together that Christ promises his presence with us. I'm not saying he's not with us when we're alone, but I'm saying that he is with us in a very special way when we are together. And Jo intimated this when she said, she made a comment that, you know, that people here must rely upon God. And I feel the presence of God this morning in a special sense because we are together in his name. He is with us when we are together. I mean, that is so wonderful, isn't it? That in community, we find God. In community, we find God. Of course our brothers and sisters are a pain in the neck. Of course, well, I am. So you're nice. But, I mean, we're all a pain in the neck. But frankly, when we're together, there's something very special about it. When we share food together, when we pray together, God is with us in that special way because that's who he is. He is community. He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together in community, in love and in purpose. Corporate prayer. And when we talk to God, when we are together, there's something very, very special about this. Two types of corporate prayer I want to talk about. Liturgical prayer. We did the Sursum Corda in one of these songs, by the way. Lift your hearts to the Lord. We lift them up. I didn't say it right. Jeffrey, what is it?
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord.
Thank you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. That's the Sursum Corda. Liturgical prayer. And I'll come back to this, because as Baptists, we tend to be almost allergic to it. And a prayer that is led by a person. Now, we had both of these. I didn't prompt Jo to do this. It's just the Holy Spirit was talking to her, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me. But we had her leading us in intercessory prayer, and we responded in a liturgical way. So it's more powerful when we're together, so it's important. Two types of corporate prayer. The first one, in Acts 2. Now, I better put my glasses on so I can see. Acts 2, verse 42. The believers, the 3,000, devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Unfortunately, the NIV has translated this and to prayer. But literally, it is the prayers. They devoted themselves to the prayers. And it's pretty likely that they were the liturgical prayers of the Israelites, of the Jewish nation. We can see this. When the day of Pentecost came in Acts 2 verse 1, they were together in one place. The Jewish tradition was to read the Bible and to pray all night. And in the morning, the Holy Spirit came. So the disciples were together doing the prayers, the liturgical prayer. I'm going to have a song going round in my head for the rest of the day when I read this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Those of you of a certain age will be doing the same the whole day. Peter and John went to pray. He met a lame man on the way. And they were going up to do the prayers, the liturgical prayers. And this was Isaac's prayer. There were three prayers. There was Abraham's prayer in the morning, Isaac's prayer in the afternoon, and Jacob's prayer in the evening. And this was called the Minchah, which was Isaac's prayer. A lot of Psalm 145 in there. So they were going up to pray in the liturgical way as well. So in, you can see, in Acts 2, as we read it, Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Prayer was a... And liturgical prayer was a part of the daily life of the first disciples. Not just prayer, but corporate prayer was part of their corporate life. It would be like, rather like, a family meeting together and not talking to dad. Can you imagine it? You know, meeting around the table and dad's sitting there on his own and nobody's talking to him. That's what meeting together and not talking to our Father is like. It was the very central part of the Christian community's life. Now, I want us to say this together. Now, those who come from an Anglican background will probably recognise this. We don't know that it's actually the third Sunday of Epiphany. Yeah, you are looking as blank as I thought you would be. Epiphany is the 6th of January when we celebrate the coming of the Magi that reveals, Epiphany is when you kind of go, ooh, it's like that. And when God is seen as the God of the nations because the wise men come to worship Jesus. And this is the third Sunday of Epiphany. And there is something called a collect, which is a prayer. A fancy way of saying a prayer. And this is the collect for today. So shall we say this together? Okay, Almighty God. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weaknesses, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Oh, doesn't that just want to make you weep with joy? I mean, as somebody who loves studying about God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Got Trinitarian theology right in the middle. It's wonderful. And we say it together. And the Lord is present with us. Actually, we're not doing communion this morning, but there is a... Here it is. If we were to have done communion, we'd have said together, Almighty God, whose Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns now and forevermore. Amen. Corporate prayer, praying together, is powerful. Why? Well, it shows us a unity of purpose. It unifies us together and moves us forward. At the end, I don't know if you know, the word that the Roman Catholics and Orthodox use for the communion service is the Mass. And that comes from word Misa, Mito, which is the word send. Because the last words of the Mass are, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. So it shows a unity of purpose. We are being sent out in mission as we pray into the world. And I put this picture up because I just love this picture. Ubuntu, South African, Xhosa word for unity. And they say, come on, please. Hello. Not pointing. Ah. I am because we are. I am because we are. We have in corporate prayer, as we pray together, a unity of purpose. We are brought together in order to serve Christ in the world. So corporate prayer is important for unity of purpose. Oops, sorry, I'm too far. And also that we worship together. I felt, certainly in Latin America, I felt sometimes when we were worshipping, we were all individuals worshipping the Lord as individuals. It wasn't corporate unity worship. And when we say the same words together, and it's not less meaningful because we haven't written the words. Tom Wright, in his book called Simply Christian, actually says it's like a person who believes that they can't really wear their clothes unless they've made them. Just because I haven't written the words or made the words up, it doesn't make them less meaningful. And of course it can become meaningless. There's a story of an Anglican vicar who was having a problem with the PA system like we were this morning. And he said, there is something wrong with this microphone. And the congregation replied, and also with you. Because it was meaningless, because they were just saying the words. It can become that, but it can become so much more meaningful as we say this in our hearts and say these things together. So liturgical prayer. But there's also the prayer led by a person. Now we turn over the page, we have this, the believer's prayer. Now what was the context? This was a specific moment in the life of the believers. They had had the 3,000 converted, they were working together, were living together, they were sharing their possessions, they were praying together. And then Peter and John go up to pray, and the man at the beautiful gate, they heal him, and then Peter preaches, he speaks to the people, thousands more are converted, and of course they get arrested. It sort of questions this whole idea. It's like, the Lord was blessing me, it's going well. No, the Lord's blessing you when you get arrested and beaten up by the authorities. That's unfortunately true. But they get arrested, and Peter gets this fantastic opportunity to speak to the religious leaders. I mean, this healing, it really had huge repercussions. So he speaks to the elders and teachers of the law. And eventually they are released. And they told them, don't you preach in this guy's name. We don't want you to go around healing people. We would like the people who are disabled to stay disabled. Thank you very much. And certainly don't go and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. So here they go back to their community. They are released and told to not preach in the name of Jesus. So they go back, and there's this prayer, and I'm pretty much assuming that they didn't all write the prayer down and then say it together, but somebody led them in prayer. So what do they say? On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported that what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Interesting what Luke says, isn't it? And it's pretty important. They went back to their own people. They went back to their community. That's what he's saying. They went back to those who they belong to. Again, corporate prayer, corporate life, the life of the community is being shown here. When the community heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will decided before should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. sovereign Lord. They said who God is. So in their corporate-led prayer, as they were responding to a situation, they declared from the start, Lord, you are sovereign. You are king. What he did in creation, he made the earth and the sea and everything in them. What he did in revealing himself, he spoke through his servant David. They say that God was opposed in the Old Testament by the nation, Psalm 2. And then they oppose God in the life of Jesus Christ as well. But you're still in control. They only did what you made them do, Lord. You are sovereign. And their requests are quite interesting. Take note of the threats. I was interested, sorry to refer to you again, Job, but in your prayer, Job, you said, Lord, sustain these persecuted people. Not stop the persecution. Take note, Lord, so that disciples will be able to speak and that God does signs and wonders through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this specific case of being arrested and thrown into prison and being told not to do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus and not to speak in the name of Jesus, they simply say, Lord, help us do what they just told us not to. They were encouraging one another in prayer. Keep on keeping on, guys. There weren't 8,000 people in this prayer meeting. There were probably only a few of them. But they were encouraging one another. And this is why corporate prayer is so important. Encouraging one another. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. Encourage one another. When we pray together, we encourage each other. Because I am, because we are. Okay, if you guys disappeared off the face of the earth, I wouldn't suddenly go poof in a puff of smoke. But the meaning of my life, the meaning of my prayer makes sense because you are part of me and I am part of you. So we encourage one another. Tomorrow morning, we will have our, I don't use the word secular because it's not a category that the Bible recognises. We have our work to do. But we can do that because we are. Because we encourage one another in our corporate prayer. So, I always have this slide at the end of my sermon, so you know it's the end of the sermon. And also, because if it doesn't have any meaning for tomorrow morning, then I might well not have stood up. So as a church community, let's be open to new forms and old forms of corporate prayer. Let us do prayer in different ways. We've had a model of it this morning, to pray intercessory prayer and then to respond liturgically. Let's be open to that. God wants us to be open to that. Let's be unified in this prayer. Let's get together in this prayer. Let's move forward, have a unity of purpose to worship together. Not only worshipping separately, but worshipping together as a community. And let's encourage one another by praying with and for one another. Now, Hilda and Penny will be over in that corner over there if you want to pray with somebody after the service. Please take that opportunity. It's free. You don't have to pay. Go and pray. Pray with one another. It's one of the things I love about All Nations. You see people praying with each other randomly at coffee break or during a classroom. Because we are. I am because we are. Let us be unified in our corporate prayer. So this is not just about corporate prayer. This is about our corporate life together. Our life as a community. Now, if you don't want me to be involved in your life, that's sad. Because I am. I'm involved in your life because you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why we talk to our Father about each other and about our lives. So corporate liturgical prayer to encourage each other, to worship together, to have unity of purpose. Let's pray together now. Loving Father, we do thank you that we are part of your family. And Lord, as every family is, it's imperfect. And we fight, we argue, we do all sorts of bad things. And we want you to forgive us, please, by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to talk together to you about our situations, that we will be able to pray those wonderful prayers together as a community. And I pray, Lord, that we will be open to what your Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us today and throughout this series and throughout our life together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.